comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I am delighted to be here, and I'm delighted you're here. We're here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Well, it's all over the internet now. Everybody's talking about it, and it's pretty cool, really. Here in the United States of America, we have a version of football that is really very similar to, in many ways, similar to rugby. So for those of you not in the United States, if you're familiar with rugby, it's something like that, sort of. The professional league is called the National Football League, and one of the teams, a really good team, the Saints, and a team that is really good also, the Colts. We're playing a game, and the television cameras caught something unusual. They had been away for a commercial break, and as they came back from the commercial break, the cameras focused on the steeple of the nearby cathedral, and there was a streak, just a streak that went across. Nobody really could tell anything about that. You can go to YouTube and see it, and you have no idea what you're looking at. It's just a streak that goes across the screen. But whenever they did some freeze frames on that to see what it was, well, it's a UFO. And what's interesting about this is, I mean, we can see in these still frames, these freeze frames, the size of this thing is pretty significant because it flies behind the steeple. And we can see as it flies behind the steeple, we can see the front and the back of it sticking out on either side of the steeple. So it's pretty significant. It's pretty good size. It's also pretty interesting because people that have looked at this really carefully and have really done a better job of getting a freeze frame than I did, have shown that it really, you know, the rods that Jose Escamilla talks about, this thing really looks like a rod. On the front or left side of it, it's got those sort of wavy appendages out on the side, a wave, I don't know how to, a fin, kind of a wavy fin out on the side near the front. But, you know, is it a rod or is it a UFO? Well, if it's a rod, it's big. And what's interesting, too, is that it has these little, well, they're not little, they're big, but it's got bright orbs of light setting on top of it. And in one frame you see two, in the other frame, in another frame you see four. One frame they're setting near the back, and in another frame they're setting near the front. Weird stuff, huh? Yeah, well, I guess extraterrestrials like the National Football League, huh? All right, we're going to step away for a break. We'll be back with my guest, Dr. Dream, right after this. And welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is known to the world as Dr. Dream. His name is Mark Peebler, but everyone, including his mother, calls him Dr. Dream. And I really, if you go to my website, I had difficulty thinking of how to frame the questions that describe what we're going to talk about, because the word dream means so many different things to so many different people. And I finally settled up on the questions that you see on the website. What are dreams, and where do they originate? Are they really important? Is there magic in dreaming? And how is all this related to the law of attraction? So without further ado, let me say, Dr. Dream, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm thrilled to be here.
I think you can understand when I use the word dream and use it in those questions, to some people that may mean, you know, what happens to them when they're asleep, but and that may be connected, but I'm really talking about when, like, someone says, I dream about doing this, or I have a dream that I can do this or that someday. And that's really what I'm talking about here. What are you talking about when you talk to people about dreams?
Well, this is the perfect place for us to start this interview tonight. For me, this all came from an experience about 8 or 9 years ago when I set an intention and asked the universe how I could live more in my purpose. And what I received over the course of about 7 days is a program that I introduced called Dream the Biggest Dream. And what it's about is all about conscious dreaming. And when I say conscious dreaming, it means being conscious in this dream, embodied as a human, us talking right now and all your listeners doing whatever they're doing, waking up in that dream. And then really looking at how to fine-tune our outer experience of reality through our conscious dreams, which is, you know, the bottom line is, you know, what is it that you want your life to look like? What are you wanting to experience? And what it does is it takes you to the age-old question, what is the why of my existence?
I like what you said, our experience with reality. And you know, this, I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and it really, in many ways, it gets down to semantics. But what I say is, you know, we don't create reality, but we do create our experience with it. And I picture, what I mean by that is, if you picture all possible realities existing right now, they all exist. But picture them as being sort of pasted on a sphere, on a ball. And then your intentions spin that ball so that that reality that you're intending turns to face you. So you didn't actually create all of the reality, but you did cause it to spin toward you. Now, you may disagree with that, and I'll give you the opportunity to, but the reason I say we don't create reality is because there are other people intending things that are interacting with that same reality. But we can cause it to spin toward us with intention. So what do you think about that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's right in track with everything that I speak about and share. And it reminds me of the Albert Einstein quote. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics. And it's saying exactly that. And, you know, so it's matching vibration. It's, and all that really means is, you know, if I'm holding this desire to have reflected back to me in my experience all things beautiful that are feeding my existence that relate to why I'm here, and that's the intention that I'm holding, then what I have found in my years of, you know, being alive is that that's what's coming right back at me. I find when I'm having a bad day, you know, what's happened is I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, quote unquote, and all of a sudden my day sort of spins out of control, because that's the frequency, that's the energy that I was holding, and then my outer experience of reality has no choice but to reflect that back to me. You know, from my perspective, reality, or my experience of reality, is created from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And that's when I do in all my travels and, you know, all that we've done around the world is to present this in a way and give people an experience. I do very few strictly speaking engagements. I do lots of experiential engagements, and it's to allow people to have an experience where they can say, wow, okay, that was fascinating. Now let me see how I can apply this in my life. And I tell people, don't take anything that I say as truth, but have it trigger you in a way that you give yourself an experience of it, and then you decide, yeah, well, actually that is true for me, or you know what, that really didn't work out the way Dr. Dream suggested. I'm open to that being the options.
You know, years and years ago, some of our listeners will have no point of reference with this, but years and years ago, we used to listen to music on these little vinyl discs that we called records. Remember those?
I do remember those.
And back then, I mean, this is before cassette tapes even. This is before 8-tracks. I talked with a guy who was giving, he's very famous, and he was giving a motivational speech for a corporation. After the speech, I had a chance to talk with him, and he was saying much in line with what we're talking about here tonight. And I said, do you really think it works that way? And he said, look, life is like a record. It has side A and side B. One side is a happy song. The other side is a sad song. You decide which one to play. And he said, it all exists together on the same record, but you decide which tune plays. And, of course, now with technology, we could say, you know, there are many more sides than A and B. There are many, many, many more tracks that can be played. But I do think that's true. We do decide what track plays.
Absolutely. I mean, when I speak of it now, so everyone can relate to it, I say if the perspective that you're looking at something doesn't feel good, look at the other side of the coin. You know, there's always another way to look at it that can assist you in expanding as opposed to constricting. I mean, these are all words that we're using now to try to explain what happens to our energy. I think most people are opening up to the fact that we are all energy. So with that as sort of a foundation belief, as a premise, then we can start to play the game with it a little bit. And I refer to it as playing the game because I came here to have fun. You know, I'm not interested I did the 16 hours a day in a suit and, you know, all this other stuff. And I made a deal with the universe some years back that if it wasn't fun, I wasn't doing it. And so, you know, that's a great example of setting an intention and then having it be reflected back to me in my experience.
How did you get the name Dr. Dream?
Well, about 9 years ago, I went to Burning Man, which is an event in Nevada each year. I think they just celebrated their 25th year. It's 1 week each year, right before Labor Day. At this point, it becomes the fourth largest city in Nevada for the week, about 56,000 people. And it's a really powerful experience. And I realized that if you set an intention before going to Burning Man, that the energies out there allowed allowed it to come right back to you and very quickly. So I mentioned before that I set this intention of how can I live within my life purpose. At that point, I had a very successful internet marketing and web development company that I started in New York City in 1994. I was living in Sedona, Arizona, a big house, bringing in what I considered to be a lot of money. It was paid for everything and then some. And I was happy, and I looked at my life and said, all of this would suggest that I've made it. The way I was conditioned to think making it would feel. You know, I got the big house, I had sole custody of my daughter, driving whatever I wanted to drive, taking big trips wherever I wanted to go. And I said, gee, this feels like I've made it, based on what I've been told. And then I thought, well, my heart seems a little empty. And I went searching for what everything really meant. For this, obviously, the way I was conditioned was not the truth of existence. And so that year I went out to Burning Man to identify how I could live more in my life purpose, which I knew was to help people and to be in service. And this program came to me called Dream the Biggest Dream. And it's an empowering program to assist people to identify and then to see that they have all the tools they need to live the life of their dreams, whatever that means to them. And I went on the speaker circuit right away. And I'd wear the expensive suit and all this, because remember, I came right out of the business world. And I would wear this really incredibly colorful cape, and no one would see me before I came out from backstage, and I'd come out like this energetic fireball in this cape of many colors and sparkling and everything else, and went into this, what Dream the Biggest Dream is and everything like that. And after one or two of these events, people just started naturally calling me Dr. Dream. And it stuck. It's one of those things. I mean, Mark, I don't have a problem with my name, Mark Peebler. It served me well all these years. But I got to tell you, people really remember Dr. Dream.
I saw a video of you in that cape.
That's one of the old ones. And I don't do the cape thing anymore. I've sort of evolved past that. Someone asked me once, they said, why do you wear the cape? And it was someone I had gone to for advice about what I was doing and how I was doing, because I was never trained to do this. And I said, gee, I never really thought about why I wear the cape. I said, I guess maybe I'm sort of hiding behind it. And she almost fell over laughing so hard. She said, the last thing you can do in a cape like this is hide behind it. And I realized what I was doing was I was getting people's attention right away. It was sort of the novelty, and I would get their attention and sort of bring that energy in and then work with that energy.
So you don't do the cape thing anymore?
No.
I don't do the hair thing anymore.
I'm almost ready to join you if you've looked at my photo.
I used to have long hair, and played in bands and stuff and had long blonde hair. And I guess I was hiding behind it. I've given it up. Bald is beautiful now.
Well, I will tell you, for every inch that I expose my forehead, I grow another inch of hair in the back.
Why is it important? I mean, really, this thing about dreaming dreams and setting intentions, why is that really important? Why can't we just wake up in the morning and we have whatever day we have?
Well, here's what happens, and I think we're all kind of aware of how things are working. If we don't give ourselves a focus on the true nature of our reality, then what happens is, and I experienced this for so many years, alarm goes off in the morning at the latest possible moment, or I've done snooze like three times, and now I got to get out of bed, I've got to get dressed, move, and it's just a series of distractions. And then I'm at my job, and you know, I was in hotel sales and marketing for years. I was a consultant for the movie industry and a number of other industries, and, you know, did sales and marketing training and all this. And so that was my world. And then at night, it was possibly after an evening at the bar with clients and this and that, and then to sleep, and the next day, right back into it. Well, what it left me with was this question of, like, why am I doing all this? Did I really show up as this person in this reality to assist people in making their businesses more successful? I mean, is that really why I'm here? And these are some of the deeper questions. I mean, for me, my life has shown up as me being the searcher. When I was 12 years old, my great aunt and uncle took my brother and myself, he's 2.5 years older than me, down through South America. And I went to Machu Picchu and saw ruins, and that really triggered something in me. Since that time, I've traveled to sacred sites all over the world, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, Japan, throughout South America, Central America, all these amazing sites, looking for the why of my existence. It just didn't hold enough for me that I'm here to work 40 to 60 or 70 hours a week, giving my prime energy, my prime time, not to my family, not to my friends, but to a company that is making money off me. And then I come home, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that, and I rest up just to do it again the next day. And it's like, that can't be why I exist. In the grand scheme of you know, the role that the human collective is about, this really isn't why I'm here. And so this program of Dream the Biggest Dream and asking people, you know, what is the biggest dream for your life and for humanity from your perspective? And asking people flat out, can you tell me the why of your existence? And I will tell you, it catches a lot of people off guard, because the last thing they're really doing is thinking about that. They're finding all the distractions, everything that the media feeds us, everything that you could possibly be addicted to. We've all gone through addictions with, or some of us maybe not, but, you know, on my end, I've experienced an awful lot of that. And it was like the grand distraction. But what was it really distracting me from? And what it was distracting me from is the biggest question, which is, you know, what am I doing here?
All right, we have to step away for a break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up right there. What is it that I am doing here? And I think probably a good question, too, is what is it I should be doing here? All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Dr. Dream. When we went away for break, we were talking about, you know, the question, is this really what I want to be doing? And you were facing that. And I think an important question that goes with it, and I'll be interested in your comments on this, is you really reach a point at some time where you have to think, okay, well, what should I be doing? What is it I'm supposed to be doing?
I got you. I want us to be careful of using words like should, just because of the connotation. Like, you know, that thing, shoulda, coulda, woulda. But there is a time, I think, for all of us when we start to wake up and we look at our lives. I think it happened in a very big way when we had such problems with our economy. And it was a really challenging time for people because here so many people are with these businesses, these companies, and they think they're going to be lifelong employees and leave with a nice pension and this and that, and all of a sudden they're unceremoniously let go. And then they have spent, you know, they've distracted themselves by identifying themselves not only with their job, which now they've lost, but with their house and with what they drive. And all of a sudden, they can't afford their house anymore. They lose it in foreclosure. They can't afford the big car payments anymore for the BMW or whatever it is. And we end up with thousands and thousands of people taking a look at their lives and saying, okay, well, wait a sec, what's it all really about? And to me, the silver lining of that experience for all of us, and believe me, I went through that also, was, okay, well, what is it about? Well, let's take a look at what's still here in my life. It's my family. It's my friends. You know, it's my family that I've spent all this energy being the one supporting the family, except I wasn't having my best energy and my best hours of the day to be there with them. And so I think that in that process, a lot of people started saying, well, you know, what is all this about? What is going on? Or with the World Trade Center, you know, when just in a very big way, humanity across the globe sees the lives of so many people taken out like that. Now, I don't want to talk about shadow government and all the different things involved with that. I just want to talk about that experience of seeing that a person's life can end like that. And so what I saw from that is people like reevaluating what their lives were about. What are they doing? You know, and what is it all for? And I think then what comes out of it is this grand opportunity for the individual to reevaluate everything. And when you start to look at it, so much of our lives then have been based on not the true nature of reality. And so it gives us this opportunity to say, well, what is the true nature of reality? And then I step in and say, hey, the true nature of reality is that you have an opportunity to identify for you what it's about. You have an opportunity to hold a vision for your life, to hold an energy, to hold a frequency, if you will, that then will allow God, source energy, the universe, whatever you want to call that, that is greater than all of us or that is what it's all about, to reflect that back to you. And the proof is not in listening to my words and saying, oh, this guy's maybe he's on to something or something like that. The proof is to say, you know what? I'm going to play the game with this. I'm going to, you know, find a way to adjust my thoughts and to really pay attention to how my life is unfolding. And so maybe for a few weeks I'll watch less TV, I'll drink a little less or smoke a little less or eat a little less or have less sex or whatever it is that's been distracting, sometimes all of that, been distracting us. And I mean, in that sense, I created a 21-day program called the Conscious Creation Program. And it's I don't like to call it a workbook because right away the connotation like work, oh geez, you know, I'm shying away from it already. So we call it a playbook. And it's fill in the blank for 21 days. And in that 21-day period, it gives people the opportunity to start seeing what happens when they focus their attention on what they truly want to experience, as opposed to possibly focusing their attention on what they don't want to experience. And I have people calling me after 3 or 4 days saying, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Everything's changing for me. And I say, yeah, of course it is, because that's what you're doing. You're placing your order with the universe now instead of, you know, just taking what's being served to you, which normally means you're putting an energy out there that's like your default energy, the way you were conditioned to believe about reality, the nature of reality, and how things play out.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, if someone were to just follow me for a day, I think most people would say, no possible way would I do that. I work 20 hours a day, and I do it 7 days a week. And there are people, I just like you have people that call you and ask you questions and talk with you, and I do too. And there are people that say, you know, they've been listening to the show, and they feel like that they want to start a show, and I'm all for it if they feel like they want to. But once they get into it, and, you know, they call me and talk to me about what do they need to do and so forth, and I'm always glad to help. But once they get into it, I get calls back saying, my gosh, I had no idea how much work there is in this. But see, the difference is this. There is a difference. The difference is this is what I am here for. Okay, I mean, it really is what I'm here for. So I don't feel, it doesn't feel like work to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's that great quote that if you love what you do, you'll never work another day in your life.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. And look at the impact you're having. I mean, you have really tapped into what your role is. Well, here's the deal, Kevin. As of 3 or 4 days ago, October 31st, there's 7 billion people, embodied humans, on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're all here for a reason. And it's time for everybody, no matter where you're at, to say, what is my unique and individual purpose for being here? Every single one of us have had uniquely different experiences. Even those of us that grew up in the same household, even people that are twins, you still had absolutely unique experiences. Now, along the way, with you know, our judgment still in place, we would have looked at our experiences and said, well, you know, I can categorize pretty much everything as the good, the bad, and the ugly. But here's the thing. We get away from that and we say, you know what? All that stuff, everything that's ever happened to me, the blissful times, the good times, the dramas, the traumas, all of it has contributed to who I am right now. And there is divine perfection in that. And so to take a look, maybe step out of our role as the experiencer a little bit and rise up above it a little bit as the observer and say, what has this uniquely prepared me for? And then to move into that. Now, I don't know about your past and what built up for you in your journey leading to the Kevin Smith Show, but I can tell you that everything that happened to you prepared you to do what you are doing, and you have fully stepped into it. You're an amazing example for all of us.
Well, I appreciate that. I didn't make my comments to elicit that statement from you, but I appreciate it. Well, my background is a lot of people can't make the connection at all, but I see the connection. I was a cop. I was international police officer. I was I did everything. I've done everything from foot patrol to commander. And a lot of people don't see a connection. They say, well, how do you go from that to hosting a paranormal UFO talk show? Well, the connection is I am intensely interested in every place where there's a black hole in information. I'm interested in what's hiding in the black hole. I'm interested in why is there a black hole? Who created that black hole? And what's the purpose of keeping it? And all of that. Well, all that comes from all those years as a cop, asking questions about things we didn't know. And so that's the connection. But, you know, I think that whatever... Now, I'm making a mistake in saying this because I'm generalizing from me, which is a specific to a general statement, and I know it doesn't apply to everybody, but this is how I think. I think if you are in the correct saddle, then you can do 16, 18, 20 hours a day and not be blown away. I mean, physically you might not be able to, but you know, the whatever it is you're involved in isn't going to blow you away. You're back tomorrow ready for more.
Exactly. Because it's not draining you. It's you're actually getting energy from it to continue doing what you're doing because you know that this is exactly where you should be. You know, as an example, in the last 22 months, I have facilitated 130 events in 88 cities, mostly in the United States and Canada, but we also have been to some other countries. And I got to tell you, and I did other consulting work and this and that to kind of support that process. It's the best 22 months of my life. And you know, we're continuing on this path of just sharing what it is that we have to share, and putting ourselves out there to assist in this process that we see as sort of the evolution of the collective.
Well, how does a person go about determining what is, I use the term, the correct saddle for them, you know, the right track for them to be running on? By what means do they determine this? Trial and error or what?
Well, I'm a big believer in asking questions. And when I respond to you this way, what I'm speaking of is putting it out there to the universe or source energy or God, again, whatever anyone refers to that greater energy, and just saying, you know, why am I here? Please give me a sign, give me some messages of why I'm here and what my life is to be about. Because then everything, when you ask God a question like that, everything you start to perceive is giving you the answers. I mean, we are on some level, we are asking questions or putting an energy out there, and in every moment, if we were very present in the moment as opposed to living in the past or thinking about the future, if we're just present in the moment, we can connect the dots with why we noticed that article on the internet, why we happened to have that conversation with the person in the grocery store, you know, and how all that connects. And it becomes a really amazing journey of life when you approach life that way. That again, you know, we've heard.
Mark, I hate to do it. We have a break taking over. We're going to pick up right there with the answer. The rest of the answer, or as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, right after this. We'll be back with Dr. Dream. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Dr. Dream. As we went away for break, you were talking about this process by which we determine what is the track we should, I have to use the word should, although I understand the connotation, but the track that we really ought to be running on instead of the one we're running on. And I had to cut you off in mid-sentence because the break took over, so the floor is yours.
Okay. Here's a foundation belief of mine, and that is that each of us has everything we need right now to achieve what it is we came here for, and we have all of that inside of us. Along with that is that we have all the answers to the questions, the deepest questions we would ever have. And so what I'm suggesting is if someone's listening to this broadcast right now and in their mind they're like, all right, these are some good questions, but, you know, what the heck am I here for then?
I suggest asking and sending it out to the universe and asking yourself, what is my passion? What allows me to be in my bliss? And that those answers will assist us in seeing why we've had the experiences we've had and what it has prepared us for. And then to follow that, I just really believe we're at a time that it's not about doing what we've always been told that we should be doing. This time now is about us asking ourselves the deepest or the highest questions about consciousness, about existence, and then following our hearts. And that's the most important aspect of our lives right now. And that everything will line up to support the individual who is living from their heart and following their passions and being in their bliss. And that's my experience. And here's the thing, Kevin. I mean, my life has been an interesting one. I'm 47 years old. I don't think of myself as particularly disciplined. I was a good student when I was engaged in what I was learning, and boy, when I wasn't, because of the professors or whatever, I really wasn't a very good student. What I'm getting at is, if I can find this inner happiness, this inner peace, this answer to the question of what is the why of my existence, anybody can, because I'm no more unique or special than the other 7 billion people that inhabit this planet with me. And that's my message, is one of empowerment. It's not to follow what I'm saying. It's to take it to heart and see what your answers are, what it is about for you. I'm not suggesting that you know, what I'm doing with my life, anyone else should be doing the same way. You're not suggesting that what you're doing with your life, anyone else should be doing also. You know, and the bottom line is that we all have gifts to share with humanity. And the sooner we move into that, really sharing the gifts that we have from inside, that's what's going to change this world.
Well, you know, I think, at least in my case, there had to come a point where I differentiated between what is a gift and what is a talent, and maybe that differentiation doesn't exist for everyone. But the fact is, I know how to do a great many things that I don't do. And I told an employer one time who gave me an assignment, and it's something I truly did not want to do. And I said, look, when you hired me to do a specific job, and I'm doing it. And he says, yeah, but you know how to do this over here, and I need it done. I said, well, just because I know how doesn't mean I want to. Just because I know how to be a cop doesn't mean I want to anymore. Just because I know how to write music and read, write, and play music doesn't mean that I want to right now. And, you know, I'm doing something now that I enjoy every day, all day. And there are many, many things I know how to do, and I have a talent for doing, but that doesn't mean I want to do it. How do you deal with that?
Well, this is interesting because in my own consciousness, I never really drew the distinction between talents, our talents, what we're talented in, and what our gifts to share are. And so as you were saying that, I thought, well, you know, what would a talent of mine be? And I thought, well, I feel like I'm a talented speaker because I don't have fear when I get up to talk in front of people and this and that. But that's not my gift. My gift is sharing from my heart. And my talent allows me to put my gifts out there, I guess. And so that's one of the things that came up for me. And the other thing I sort of mentioned earlier, and that is what are a person's passions and what allows them to be in their bliss? Remember Joseph Campbell saying, follow your bliss. And so, you know, while you may be talented as writing music and this and that, if it's not your passion in this moment and it's not your bliss, well, then why put your energies into that, even though that's a talent? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important to, you know, identify, you know, from inside, like, what really fills you up? You know, what is it that, I mean, there's that question. If I handed a person $1 million, let's say more, $20 million, you know, then what would they do with their lives? I pretty much across the board, most people that are working a 9-to-5 job, a lot of those people, I don't want to say most, a lot of those people would quit their job. So the question becomes, if you had all the money you needed and you didn't have to work for money, what is it that you would be doing? This relates directly to your passion and your bliss. If somebody handed me $20 million, I would continue to travel around the world doing what I do because I love it.
Well, and I'm the same way. If someone handed me $20 million, I'd still be back at the microphone tomorrow night. You know, this is, it's more than, it's not proper to say this is what I do, nor is it proper to say this is what I am. I am much more than the show, and I don't just do the show. The show is part of me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And to me, it's the distinction between doing and being. And now we get into a little bit of Zen thought and everything. But there is a distinction. And it's not so much about doing as it is being in my mind. And so, you know, and it's up to people to sort of identify what that means for them. I'm being, you know, who I am here. I'm being the conglomeration of all my experiences. And so in that process, it's not about like having to do something, but it's about continuing to be in that space. And I get that that's a little out there. And believe me, over the years, people have suggested that I'm, you know, out there. But, you know, on some
well,
level,
if you weren't,
certainly it works for me.
If you weren't out there, you wouldn't be in here with me because we talk about things that are on the front bumper of alternative. So that's a good thing. But, you know, one of the ways that this relates to the, well, a break just took over and it's cutting me off. So we'll be back, folks, right after this. Interesting anomaly during that break. For those of you listening on the radio stream, if you're listening on radio or cell phone, iPhone, smartphones, any of those gadgets, or on the computer, I don't know what happened. Anyway, we're back. It was supposed to be. My guest this evening is Dr. Mark. Well, Mark Peebler, Dr. Dream. And for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I want to express my sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for that first hour. because we have been talking about some really interesting things having to do with setting intentions and then beginning to experience reality in accordance with those intentions. Now, as we went away for break, I had just started to say that I think one of the ways that this all kind of applies to the genre that we are in, that this show is in, works like this. There are a couple of ways. One thing is that there are tons and tons and tons, I would venture that to say there are probably 100,000 UFO paranormal talk shows out there on the internet. And on the radio waves, there are hundreds, maybe thousands around the world if you take them all in. And some of them seem to have as their focus a very contentious, very destructive sort of crusader sort of attitude. Not all of them, but some of them. There are others that after you listen to them, you feel like, you know, I learned something I didn't know. I heard some stuff I already knew, but I learned some stuff I didn't know. I got kind of a positive message out of this thing, and, you know, I feel better about things having listened to this show. So I think a person's intentions, the host or the producer, their intentions show through in the result that you feel and that you experience. And I certainly don't want this show to be destructive ever, except replacing what's really dark and negative with something that's hopeful and positive. So I guess it's destructive of negative things. So it applies that way. Here's another thing. How many times, folks, have we heard right here on this show, we've heard people say, you know, I never did anything like this before, but I so much wanted to see a UFO, and I so much wanted to make contact with these people, and I just thought, you know, come down here and make contact with me. I want to see you. I had a telephone call today, Dr. Dream, just like that. A guy out in Oregon. And he was just so intent on having it happen that it did happen. And he saw them up close and personal. But if that can happen with UFOs, if that can happen with a radio show, because I was told I didn't have a prayer. I was told I didn't have a snowball's chance in hell. And I guess I didn't, but I also didn't have a choice. And, you know, I had to do what I was doing the way I did it. And it's worked out, and here we are. But if it can work with a radio show, why can't it work in all these other areas of our lives? And, in fact, let me ask you about that. Are there really areas of our lives, or is it all one thing?
Well, I think to make it easy to focus on, you know, there's areas. I think that it's okay to sort of play games with how our minds work, and sometimes looking at our lives as just one big thing is a little bit much. Remember that old thing, how do you eat an elephant? Yeah. The answer is, well, one bite at a time. I mean, and, you know, it makes all the sense in the world. It's a little overwhelming as a caveman or whatever, and I'm a vegetarian, so it's a funny discussion for me to have anyway. But to look at an elephant and it's just too damn big, you know, but it's like, oh, well, one bite at a time, I can handle that. How do you run a marathon? You know, one step at a time. And so, you know, we break things down to make it manageable. I really want to address intention and setting intention.
Okay, let's do that.
This is so powerful.
And what I share with people is that we are constantly, in every moment of our lives, intending something. And what is intention? It is desiring a specific outcome. So people turn on their radio to the Kevin Smith Show to be enlightened, to expand their consciousness, to be challenged by other perspectives and things like that. Nobody really says, well, maybe someone does, but most people don't say, my intention for turning on the Kevin Smith Show is this. They don't state it to themselves. But everything we do, walking from our desk to the printer, you know, whatever. It's we're intending, we're desiring a specific outcome. So I take it a step further and say, let's really focus on what our intention is, not in the little stuff like I'm brushing my teeth because I intend, you know, the desired outcome is to have fresh breath or, you know, whatever. But for the bigger things that we do in our life and kind of with those things to be sort of constantly setting our intentions and then sending it out to the universe. Now, I take it a step further and I say, okay, we start in our mind, in our brain, thinking about what our intention is. And I'm like, that's a great place to start. But once we've identified what our intention is, I suggest to really have it work that we see our intention traveling down into our heart. And as it reaches our heart, we embrace it with emotion, with all the love that we are. And we feel ourselves sort of filling up with all that emotion wrapped around this intention. And then we send it out to God, the universe, source energy, and that's it. Now, if you go to my site, touroflove.com, a little bit down the page, there's a YouTube video about you know, dreaming your biggest dream. And what it's really about is placing your order with the universe. And I want people to watch it because it's a beautiful way that I've sort of packaged it to make it really easy for people to say, yeah, that's right. But the basis of it is that you are constantly placing your order with God or the universe. Now, here's the thing, Kevin. If you and I go out to lunch tomorrow, or possibly around 11:11 when I'm going to actually get to meet you in person. And we go to a restaurant and we're sitting down and the waiter comes over and takes our order and we place our order after looking at the menu and really identifying what it is we truly want. Once we've placed our order and the waiter walks away, you and I are not going to sit there and say to each other, gee, Kevin, I wonder what's going on in the kitchen. And you'll say, Dr. Dream, I wonder if they're really going to get my order right the way I placed it. That's not what you do. You let go of it after you place your order, and you just have a knowing or faith or a belief that what's happening behind the scenes is achieving what it is you just ordered, and you don't have to put any more thought into it. So my thing is setting intention or placing your order with the universe, do it, embrace it with emotion, send it out there, and then realize that it's happening, it's in play. And then follow your passions, be in your bliss, you know, come from your heart space, and watch how beautiful your experience of reality gets.
I like that. That's a great analogy. I want the audience to have the opportunity to participate with us. And in order to do that, ladies and gentlemen, you need to call us. And here's how you do it. 623-444-5889. Now write that down because I won't be mentioning that through the rest of the show, but I will give it to you again right now. 623-444-5889. If you didn't write it down and you happen to forget it, you can always go over to my website. Scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight showing the telephone numbers right above it. Also, for those of you not in the USA and not in Canada, you're somewhere else, you can call that number or you can send us a flash message. Now, if you're in the USA or Canada, call us. If you're elsewhere, you have another option. You can send me a flash message. Go to my website, scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture, is a link that says flash message. All right, to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Mark, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Mark, I agree with what you just said. However, I would make one caveat. Mm-hmm. We have to take steps ourselves to get from point A to point B, because we can't just put it out there and expect it to happen.
That is perfect, Brent, and it's something I hadn't gotten to yet, and I call it inspired action. And that is, okay, you've identified what you're choosing, and you've put it out there. Well, it's not about sitting on your butt and just waiting for it to happen. It's about identifying then the next step that you take to bring it about. That's very good. I really appreciate you calling in with that, because that's a very important aspect of this.
You're welcome. I just wanted to, earlier you said some people thought you were out there. I want to tell you a story, and before I tell you this story, I've got to make a disclaimer to everyone in China. This is not an insult. It's an actual story. My brother is a rancher in Montana. He has a neighbor, had a neighbor, who was, shall we say, out there. His sheep kept dying. So he called the vet. He said, "Doc, I know what's killing him. But I want to know how I prevent it." The vet said, "What's killing him?" So the Chinese are beaming radiation through the planet to kill my sheep. He said, "Well, there's a cure for that. You wrap them in aluminum foil. That'll prevent the radiation from getting to them." The next week, the vet drove by his place, and all the sheep were wrapped in aluminum foil. True story.
And what's the rest of the story? Did they stop dying?
No.
They died of aluminum poisoning after that.
It sounds like that it's just a process of cooking them then.
Yeah. All right, Brent. Thanks for the call.
Yep,
appreciate it, Brent.
Right. You know, intentions... I've heard people say, and I'm glad you joined intention with action. When I was a kid growing up, you know, we were in church all the time, and I've heard preachers say, and I've heard Sunday school teachers say, hell is full of people that had good intentions. And their point was, they didn't act on them, and they did bad things, and they wound up not doing what they intended. But intentions... you know, it's a good thing, but it's not really, I guess, how can I say it? You're not really focused on it as an intention if you're not following it up with, what did you call it, inspired action?
Inspired action, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel that this aspect of inspired action, and people may take exception to this, I feel that it comes naturally. I feel that once you have identified the why of your existence, and you have connected the dots with your entire life of experiences and what it's given you, and you've identified what your gifts are, that inspired action comes naturally. I used to think, Kevin, that it was all about one thing, that the life experience was all about the individual slipping into a space of unconditional love for self. Now, we could write volumes about what that really means, but I just cut to the chase, and it was like unconditional love for self. Something happened in my life, and I finally got to this place where I realized more unconditional love for self than I ever had in my life, and then that moved me to taking a look at what is my responsibility to the collective. I had identified and put focused intention and attention on my responsibility to self, which is completely accepting and loving self. And then it led me to my role in the collective as one of 7 billion beings here now. And And then out of that came inspired action. And it just keeps happening that way. And let me also share with you that every single day of my life, I continue to focus on total acceptance of who I am, and unconditional love for self, while, you know, improving those things or fine-tuning those aspects of myself that I choose to fine-tune.
How possible is it for someone to totally, completely miss it? Now, let's go back to the restaurant, to the analogy of ordering a meal. If you and I are in a vegetarian restaurant, I'm not a vegetarian, although I don't eat much meat, but we'll say that I decide, all right, I want a steak. I'm in the wrong restaurant. They don't have a steak, and I'm not going to get it. How easy is it for us to miss it when we're setting intentions and order the wrong thing?
Well, I think it's impossible to order the wrong thing, because whatever we give ourselves the opportunity to experience, it must be what we're still needing to experience. Now, when you watch this video, I refer to it as us showing up at the reality cafe of the universe. And placed before us are these giant menus, because everything is available. And if I further say, if you happen to get to the end of this giant menu, I'll let you in on a little secret, a number of additional pages magically appear, because it is endless possibilities at the reality cafe of the universe. So really, it's not like it's a specific type of restaurant. I mean, it is all that is, you know, right mm-hmm. there. And so I think it's just really important. Like, you remember the film The Secret, and the guy's sitting in his living room and he wants a sports car. You know, and so he's just setting his intention on owning this sports car. You know, I think it that was so superficial. I mean, I love the film because it really opened people up to a perspective that I believe serves us all. But we've got to take it much deeper than that. And that's why I bring in the why of our existence. Because once you connect with the why of your existence, it's like, is it really then about you having an expensive sports car? I mean, some people can work their way into that, but I think that once we take it to those deeper levels of asking ourselves those big questions, the superficial desires start to go by the wayside. And so, you know, it really is about this deeper connection to spirit. And to source energy, and to allow that to guide us, not how we've been conditioned by media and our surroundings and everything else. And so there's a huge dynamic involved here, and sometimes, you know, I bring it down to the most simple terms possible, because I consider myself a simple person. I want to wrap my head around it. Give me something that I can really play with. Don't tell me I have to go off to, you know, the Himalayas and sit in a cave for 3 years to get it right. I wasn't raised in a culture like that. I was raised in a culture of, you know, I want it and I want it now. Well, the things that I talk about and this aspect of playing the game and setting intentions and placing your order with the universe and connecting the dots with why things are happening in your experience, it's my effort to make it simple, not just for myself, but to everyone that I share this with.
All right, so let's talk about some practical application of this. How does, give us an example of how we put this in our tennis shoes and strap it on. How does this make a difference in real life for Joe and Jane America?
Well, I guess the big thing here is
if Joe and Jane America, or, I mean, let's just open it up to Joe and Jane One World, are having their life experience and they're not feeling fulfilled. They're not feeling that they're really addressing why they're here, then this whole thought process works for them. If Joe and Jane are still in a place where they're not ready to wake up to that, and a lot of people still aren't, although those numbers are you know, starting to be chipped away at, then it's just not their time. Then they need to have more experiences, and I call them, you know, like less than comfortable experiences. And those less than comfortable experiences, because if I'm going to judge them, I'm not going to say, oh, well, they're really just terrible experiences or they're horrible. I just call them less than comfortable. If people get tired of having less than comfortable experiences, then they may step up to this and say, well, you know, maybe there's something to it. Maybe this 21-day conscious creation program is something I should look at. Maybe before I get out of bed each morning, I should just focus my intention on what it is that I truly desire. And Kevin, when we get right down to it, I would say that we all have sort of the same foundation of desires, and that's to love and be loved, to feel safe and secure, and to have the ability to express ourselves and to accept other people's expressions of themselves. That's not saying that we have to, you know, be best friends with everyone in the world, but it's to honor and respect who they are, knowing that that reflects back to us and honoring and respecting of who we are. You know, I don't have to agree with everyone, and I don't expect everyone to agree with me, but I honor and respect where everyone else is coming from, you know, whoever that is. I mean, one of my foundation beliefs is that we are all, each of us, doing the best we can do with the tools we have available. And I take that a step further by saying that applied and to Mother Teresa and to the person that's on death row. And so that is, you know, really accepting that we all came here to grow, learn, and evolve. And I'm not here to judge other people's soul purpose, S-O-U-L, purpose for being an embodied human. It's enough for me to connect with my own soul purpose on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis. I can't possibly connect with anyone else's.
Okay, well, we're going to have to step away for a break. When we come back, I want to explore this idea a little bit about everybody else is doing the best, they're trying to do the best that they can with, you know, with the tools and the information that they have. I'm not saying that my view is right, but my view is different. I think there are some people that are absolutely mushrooms, and they've made themselves this by choice. And they have no intention of doing their best. So we'll talk about that when we come back, see what you think about that. All right, folks, we shall return right after this, so don't go away.
But nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dr. Dream. And when we went away for break, Dr. Dream, you had made the statement that your view is that everybody's doing their best with the tools that they've got and so forth. And I said, My view is different from that. My view is that there are some people that are mushrooms by choice, and they're not doing their best with anything. It's their choice to be mushrooms, and it's kind of, you know, a family tradition for them. How would you respond to that?
With a giant smile on my face. Here's how I see it. This experience of being embodied in form as a human, you know, in this reality as we know it, to me is like the grand opportunity. It's like one of the schools of the multi-cosmos. And we choose to come here not to be perfect. I often find myself saying, you know, on the contrary, as perfect angels or whatever beings we are outside of this reality, we choose to come here to grow, learn, and evolve. Okay. I will give you that some people don't seem to be stepping up to that. Again, I'm not here to judge what their soul purpose, why their soul chose to come into form at this time. But I do have the foundation belief that all of us here came to have an experience and to grow, learn, and evolve. And so for those people that it can be, if we are sitting in judgment, that they are doing things to the detriment of the rest of the collective of humanity, I say that they just haven't learned their lesson yet. They haven't gotten what they came here to get to expand out of that space. But I'm one of the most positive people that I know. It would be very difficult for me to live in this reality feeling that I was the victim to all these other energies. My foundation belief is it really has everything to do with my connection to heart, my connection to spirit, and that whatever is going on and whatever that your guests talk about, and I you know, HAARP and shadow government and this, that, and the other thing, that we as individuals and a collective can overcome all of that by staying in our heart space and standing in our truth as our authentic selves, and that changes everything, and that whatever forces are being put out there, we can overcome all of that by our connection within ourselves. And I really, really believe that. I'd love to have some of your listeners call in and discuss that, because I understand it brings up stuff for people.
Well, it could be that some of these folks that I've referred to as mushrooms, you know, you said you don't stand in judgment, nor do I, and you said, you know, they're not stepping up to whatever it is they came here for. It could be that what they came here for was to tune into the Kevin Smith Show and hear me say from time to time, grow up.
Absolutely. That could be it. And I mean, let's take a look at everything that's going on right now with the Occupy movement, with the Truth movement. You know, it's giving everyone an opportunity to wake up and to really, you know, connect with what it's about. And that's what my message is, and it just happens to be deeply seated in a very empowering energy, because I'm not interested in giving up my power here, there, and everywhere. And yet, you know, those opportunities are all around us. I read a quote the other day that was channeled from the Abraham Hicks material, and it says, "You are the creator of your own reality, and so you are not in jeopardy. You do not need to control the behavior of others in order for you to thrive. Your attention to things that you think that you think they do that keeps you from your thriving is, in fact, what keeps you from your thriving. It is not what they do to you. It's what you do to you in fear of what you think they will do to you. A little bit wordy there, but the bottom line is we give our power away. And you know, it's a touchy subject these days with chemtrails and all of these other things, HARP and everything else. It's like, well, Dr. Dream, or, you know, maybe you're just so far out there, you don't really see what's happening here in the trenches of being a human. And I'm like, I really, really believe, like the Gandhi quote that's thrown around so much, I'm not sure people really connect to it on the deepest level, but that is, be the change you wish to see in the world. And so that's about from the inside out. It's not about changing all those people that are screwing things up, that are out to get us. It's strictly about, you know, going inside. And there was a quote recently that I read from Mother Teresa, and I loved it. She said, "What can you do to promote world peace? Go home and love your family." I love it. But I'm all about keeping it simple. And if I get too caught up in everything outside of me, instead of looking at everything that's going on inside of me, I'm going to lose myself to all of that. And I'm pretty sure there's a fine line with how we can walk and do this. As you know, I'm in Sacred Union partnership with your guest from last night, Laura Eisenhower. And Laura's story is a big story, and she's, as no one I've ever met, so laser focused on her mission here. It has, as you can imagine, Kevin, because you've interviewed her a couple of times, it has really opened me up to things that I filtered out in the past. And so there is this fine line for me of feeling like almost like I have no control, and then I've got to bring myself back into, no, this is about me doing the inner work, and that's going to change things on the outside. And my thought is, if everybody around the world that's participating in the Occupy movement, which I think is a valuable aspect of what's going on for humanity right now, but if everyone that's doing that just spent one day occupying their heart, meaning turning within and looking at what they can fine-tune within themselves and what they can clear out of the corners of their consciousness, that would have a huge, huge impact. But I honor and respect all those in the Occupy movement that are finding their voice and taking their power back. I think it's very valuable for us as the collective of humanity right now.
Well, I'll say something that I said to Laura Eisenhower last night after the show, and that is this. I've lived in a lot of different places around the world. I've lived under communism. I've lived under various forms of democracy. I've lived in all kinds of environments as well. And I have seen blizzards that aren't joking. I mean, real blizzards. And, I mean, things, you know, here we have 2 or 3 days of really cold weather, and we think that's a blizzard. I'm talking about things that are a month long. But I have seen pine trees standing on the mountain. And the blizzards, ice and snow and just unbelievable conditions, well below zero temperature, well below zero, and winds so strong that you couldn't stand up. And I'm not exaggerating, but I've seen pine trees just standing there being pine trees. They weren't trying to be anything else. They were just being pine trees. And then the springtime comes, and all the snow and the ice melts and evaporates. Who won? The blizzard was fierce, but the pine tree was permanent. And so we do have conditions that swirl around us sometimes that are beyond our control. I think, you know, if you just stand and be what you are, you first have to know what you are. But just be what you are. Springtime does come, and if you're still standing, you won.
I like that. It just makes a lot of sense. I mean, it feels right. These perspectives, you know, and it's just to give us a perspective that assists us in seeing the bigger picture, and that's a beautiful way of looking at it.
But you know, I thought after I told her that, what if the pine tree didn't know what it was? What if it tried to be something else? It wouldn't be there in the springtime, would it? It wouldn't still be standing. I guess the way it applies to what we're talking about here tonight is we are living in times when we have a real serious blizzard of wild stuff swirling around us all from all over the world. I mean, you've mentioned some of it. I mean, you know, you got HAARP, you got the questions about 9/11. You've got all kinds of famine and disease around the world. You got war. You got some people who think you go to heaven by killing other people. And you got Fukushima. You got earthquakes and tidal waves. And I mean, it's a wild, wild time for us to be alive. And, you know, I think if there ever was a time for people to really be anchored in knowing what they are, not defined by somebody else, but knowing what they are, man, this is the time.
This is definitely the time. I can't imagine a more incredible time to be alive. And, you know, wherever it's going, and there's all, I mean, you know better than I do, there's all sorts of thought processes and perspectives about, you know, moving from 3D, 4D reality into fifth dimensional, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Whatever it's about, it's magical. It's an incredible time to be here, and it's really calling us forth as individuals to identify, you know, what our role is in all of this, because, you know, just to me, we're just by function of being here, we have a role to play.
Well, I think so. You know, my opinion on that is if you were not important to the cosmos, it wouldn't be feeding you oxygen.
Nice.
And, you know, your very existence declares you're important. All right, we have to do something really important now. We have to take a break, and we will be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and that means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. You are invited to check out the information at alchemyevent.com. I'll be speaking out there in Los Angeles at the Alchemy Event at the Alchemy Event 2011. The information is at alchemyevent.com. The banner for that website is on my website, and if you go over there and click this, it will take you to the Alchemy event website. And you can see all the speakers. Dr. Dream is going to be one of the speakers, Laura Eisenhower, Walter Bosley, Richard Dolan, lots and lots of people, Joseph Farrell, lots of people are going to be there. I want to meet you there. I want to get your autograph. I want to get my picture taken with you. And come meet and greet, and let's enjoy some time together, all right? It's November the 11th, 12th, and 13th. I will be there on the 12th and 13th. I'll be speaking on the 13th, and I hope you'll come out and enjoy that, be a part of it. There are a lot of things involved with this event. It's about UFOs. It's about ET disclosure. It's about conspiracies and cover-ups. And it's about consciousness and how it all fits together. Because these are not disjointed subjects, folks. These are not, we talk about UFOs. Well, if they really are UFOs, then there really are ETs. Somebody's driving them. If there really are ETs, then that means there are intelligent beings off planet. And that means that our only hope of communicating with them is for us to have a consciousness that is on at least some level they can communicate with. Now, let me give you an example. Can you communicate with an ant? You gotta have some level of consciousness above the animal level in order for them to be able to communicate with us. So it's about all of that. And I hope you'll come out and we'll be a part of it. Dr. Dream, let me ask you a question about...
Yes.
You look at everything that we've talked about, and we've only scratched the surface of the things you talk about. But when you look at all that we've talked about and all that you talk about that we didn't get to so far, what is the single most important thing for you to communicate with people?
Good question, Kevin.
That's why they pay me the big bucks, to ask those good questions.
I really feel that from my perspective, regarding, you know, what I'm here for and what I have to share, that it really all comes back to love. That this is the greatest force, the greatest power within ourselves and for our planet and the multi-cosmos and well beyond is really all about love. And if we can find ways in our lives in each moment to connect from that heart space and to approach our lives from this connection of love and realizing that the end game is really about love, that shifts something for us.
And, okay, well, is love an emotion, or is it a decision? Is it an action?
I mean, you know, yes. it's all of the above. And the deeper you get into it, you know, the more expansive your experience of it is. I mean, this is what we've done with thousands of people in the last 22 months, is we have given them an experience that allows them to expand their container, so to speak, allows them to have a more expansive experience
of love. And we wrap it around the questions, why do you exist? What is your life about? You know, if you could do anything, would you be doing what you're doing? You know, we ask the big questions, but in the end, it brings people right back to what is their true connection with love for themselves, for every other being, for the planet, for all that is. And I think this single aspect really allows people to have a much more full experience here as humans in this place.
When you say a much more full experience, expound on that just a little bit. What are we talking about with a much more full experience?
What are we talking about? So much of my life has to do with connecting to people on that level. That my life is a lot different than when it was all about, okay, what's my next strategic move that I can make that much more money doing? And how can I, you know, work with these people to get more? And you know, that's sort of superficial, what I would consider a superficial way of being. And now, you know, I put myself out there in a big way, and so many people come to me. I give of my services quite a bit at no charge for people, because a lot of times the people that need what I offer the most don't have anything in that moment. Well, this has given me, you know, as I said, like a much more full experience of life, that it's not just about me, that there's something so much bigger going on than what used to be. I mean, I was always a searcher, but I mean, you know, I had a time when I lived in New York City and I was out drinking 5 or 6 nights a week. You know, I wasn't focused on what I could be doing to assist the collective of humanity. I think when you shift your perspective and really open yourself up to this deeper connection, it just becomes so much bigger and so much more beautiful. And that's what I mean when I say a more full experience of what it means to be human.
All right. Well, I appreciate you for being with us this evening. We are out of time, and the end of the show is racing towards us like a brick wall at the end of the road, or we're racing toward it. But thank you for being with us, and if you will, stay on the line with me for a moment as I bring the Kevin Smith Show Starship in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Dream. And you want to be sure and get out to Los Angeles. You'll meet him, too, okay, at the Alchemy Event 2011. Check it out. Now, let me also encourage you, if you are not yet part of our members community, you really need to be. It's only 25 cents a day. That's $7.50 a month. You get our archives with hundreds of shows in the archives. We call them K-Pods. You get to watch the show every night. You get your own blog. You get your own photo album. You get your friends page where you have, you know, you send friend requests and accept or reject friend requests. And you're familiar with that. You've seen it on other sites. $7.50. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.